Peter, good morning.
Hey, Sean.
Thanks very much for joining us here on The Daily. Now, you've said the release of the Panama Papers couldn't have come at a worse time for the Turnbull government. How so?
Well, here's the thing. Over the last 2 or 3 months, there's been a fairly confused public debate about tax. The coalition has put out a whole bunch of ideas, including raising the GST, cutting the corporate tax rate. Meanwhile, Labor's been putting out some tax issues as well, clamping down on negative gearing and the use of superannuation tax concessions for the top end of town. So tax is already looming as a point of difference in the upcoming federal election. Mm. At the same time, there's another debate going on about funding education through the Gonski reforms and the ability of the government to fund a growing health system as the population ages. And, you know, surprise, surprise, both of those things actually come back to tax and how much money the government's got to spend. So this whole issue of tax is becoming a bit of a definer in the Australian political scene. Mm. What I think is interesting about the Panama Papers is it creates this broader international story, which is about corporate tax, not just avoidance, but minimisation, which is legal, but means, you know, that large corporations find ways of not paying tax in the countries they operate. So it seems to me that this is one of those external issues that could really frame up both the budget and the upcoming federal election. And if it doesn't, it puts the Turnbull government in a very difficult corner.
Because after all, I mean, the quote was the age of entitlement is over. It's quite an infamous quote at this point in time. Yeah. But that age of entitlement seemed to be really directed at everyday Australians. Meanwhile, these major corporations are still said to be, well, I think there was a list most recently of about 300 companies that operate in Australia and yet weren't paying any tax.
Indeed, you know, there was some great stories. There's a Senate report actually due out in a few weeks looking into tax minimisation by companies that are big in Australia and big names like Google and Apple, Qantas, who find ways of basically avoiding paying tax. There is, and then you end up with these great juxtapositions where you've got a big company like Spotless Cleaning who pays $0 in tax, and you can line them up with one of the Spotless Cleaners who still pays away. So this idea that we're paying our taxes, but the government says we don't have enough money for our health and education, and then we look up and a whole bunch of, companies and individuals who can afford smart tax lawyers find a way to get around it. It's a bit of a change up into the way that we look at these debates. And again, as our polling regularly shows, while a lot of people see Labor and Liberal as becoming more and more similar on a lot of issues, Liberal's brand is still being seen as being linked to the wealthy and big business, and Labor more for middle income and, you know, lower income earners. So opportunity there. I'm not saying it's going to determine the election, but what we call it is a framer. And if the election is framed this way, then it's going to be difficult for the coalition to convince the undecided voters who determine elections that they're governing on their side.
Well, has the government actually taken too much off the table here in terms of what kind of taxes they are going to use? They've sworn off against certain methods of tax. The GST debate, as you say, has been raging onwards. Has the government taken too much off the table?
Look, they wanted a tax debate, but they were talking about tax rather than what the taxes were funding. And I think one of the mistakes that can be made is that you divide policy up into silos and you don't join the gaps. Nobody wants to pay more tax, but if there is a debate around how you raise the money you need to fund decent schools and hospitals, that's probably a different matter. And then, you know, then there's the debate about the tax instruments and then the enforcement. And I think the enforcement is the one that's becoming really interesting. And again, external events can influence elections. But the two I think about in recent times, 2001, the federal election occurred against the backdrop of September 11, and it was a national security election because that was the prism where people were seeing politics being run through. Mm. 2007 was really an election around the issue of climate change, when that was a really big international issue. So big international events do have some impact on local elections. And, you know, this Panama paper data dump, you know, we don't know where the links into Australia are, but we do know there's an estimated 800 high net worth Australians that are in this data dump, and you'd be naive not to think that there are Australian companies in there as well.
Mm. And just perhaps as a final point there, is there going to be much of an impact on Labor? How do they fit into all this?
Look, this fits into Labor's natural turf, which is being on the side of working people, ordinary punters, however you like to describe it. Does that mean they can win the election? Well, there hasn't been a one-term government since the Depression of the 30s, so history would say it's going to be very difficult. But as I said earlier, for Labor, it gives them somewhere to go in terms of engaging in a public debate on a guy who, when he came in as Prime Minister, was incredibly popular and still holds a significant lead over his opposite number in terms of preferred Prime Minister.
Well, thank you very much, Peter. I do appreciate your insight into this one this morning. It'd be interesting to see just how much this does shape the next budget and even the next election. Do appreciate your time.
Good on you, mate. Cheers.